The genesis of tonight's shiur was we've been doing topics of tefillah lately, and I was hanging around cleaning up my den the other night and finding old stuff all over the place, and out of one of my svarim popped a Mar Makomo sheet from when my wife was in seminary, from one of the classes that she took a contemporary halacha class, and it was on the topic of differences in tefillah between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. And I looked at it, I said, wow, that's a great topic. So I decided that we would make that the topic of tonight's shiur. Plus, I had so many of the Mar Makomos right there in front of me, because the Rebbe from Mechalat Mevaseret Yerushalayim, Rabbi Lerner, who's a fine Talmud Chacham, a very, very nice man also, had put together this beautiful packet of Mar Makomos. So I redid it a little bit, threw in a few more Mar Makomos, but that's what we're going to be going through. There are a lot of differences. You know, it's also been something that's on my mind ever since, I guess it must be a while ago already, a couple of years ago, when Michael Samter was here for Shabbos once. He came over to me and he said, why don't we do Minhag Eretz Yisrael and Tefillah? He's very into Minhag Eretz Yisrael. And he said, why don't we do Minhag Eretz Yisrael for Tefillah? We should do, they obviously know what they're doing there, and it's always been in the back of my mind, why do we have all these differences? Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz Dafka, all these differences between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Now, some of the differences aren't purely along Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz lines. Some of these differences that we're going to discuss, we're going to find places in Chutz La'aretz that do like Minhag Eretz Yisrael, or communities or types of people in Chutz La'aretz, Sephardim, Ashkenazim, whatever, that might do like Minhag Eretz Yisrael. And some of these Minhagim, even within Eretz Yisrael, not everyone agrees to, but we'll try to pick a few of them. And just to be clear, this is not an exhaustive list. What we have in this outline are five examples of things that are different in the tefillos of Eretz Yisrael and the tefillos of Chutz La'aretz. There are more. There are several more, but we'll start with this. I just realized as I was going through all of them, if we were to do all of them in Hagim, it would take us many, many weeks to really get through all of them. It would really be the subject of maybe a dissertation or a book or something. It's not for a 1 or 2 week shiur. Tonight, we're probably not going to get past the first topic. And the first topic is perhaps the difference that stands out most, because it comes up every single day, and it seems to be that the minhag Chutz La'aretz is against the pasuk in the Torah, and that is when it comes to Birchas Kohanim. And in Chutz La'aretz, we don't do Birchas Kohanim b'chol yom, we only do it on Yom Tovim, and in Eretz Yisrael, we do Birchas Kohanim b'chol yom. And the pasuk says in the Torah, in Parshas Nasau, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar, Daber el Aaron v'albanav lemar, Kos varchu es b'nei Yisrael amar lahem. This is how you should bless b'nei Yisrael, Yivrecha Hashem yishmerecha. It doesn't tell us exactly when or how often, but it seems to be that it should be whenever the opportunity presents itself, that they should bless Klal Yisrael. So the Beis Yosef deals with the fact that the minhag was already around not to do Birchas Kohanim in many communities, and he tries to explain why that minhag existed and why he thinks it's a bad minhag. So if you look at source number one, Beis Yosef writes, Kasav ha'agur, shenishal meharim alon, lama ina kohanim nosen kapeim b'chol yom, me'achashu mitzvah saseh. Why do Kohanim not do Birchas Kohanim every day? It's a mitzvah to say in the Torah. The Heshev b'pnei sheminhag HaKohanim litbol kodem. So this is one thing that we're going to have to be aware of. With each answer, we're going to have to figure out if our minhag actually fits the answer. Meaning, if the answer is going to be that Kohanim always go to the mikvah before they do Birchas Kohanim, and it's too much to ask them to go to the mikvah every single day, well, then we're going to have to ask ourselves, do all the Kohanim go to the mikvah before Yontif? And if not, then this would not be a very good explanation of what we actually do. If they do, I don't know if they do. I don't think they all kind of are makpid to go to the mikvah every Erev Yontif before the Nosei Kapehem. But so he says the idea is that the minhag developed that they would only be Nosei Kapehem when they went to the mikvah first. Kamosh Kosovah goes Maimonios. Ubechol Yom, Kashalahem Litvol Bechorev. And it's very difficult to go to the mikvah every single day. In the winter months especially, you have to realize a lot of times the mikvah was the ocean. And if you ever even, when I was young, my father used to take us out to Atlantic Beach on Erev Yom Kippur, because the real mikvah was crazy. So on Erev Yom Kippur, it was too busy. So on Erev Yom Kippur, we went out to Atlantic Beach. So you ever try to go to the beach in October, see what it's like, even in New York, where the climate's not terrible. It's pretty wild. It's pretty crazy and pretty dangerous, to tell you the truth. There were years that my father said, okay, you can't go in. Right? It was just too dangerous. So for to expect Kohanim to go in all these different places, every single day to the mikveh, it's a little too much. It's a little too much to expect from them. And therefore the minhag developed that dafka and yom tov, we do birchas kohanim. V'gam mitam bitul melacha. And also, it takes too much time. So we try to cut down davening as much as we can during the week. People have to go to work. So we cut down the davening by knocking out Birchas Kohanim. I know others might have other suggestions of what we could have knocked out besides Birchas Kohanim, but we cut out Birchas Kohanim from the davening, and that way we knock out some time from the davening. We save ourselves those few seconds. Uksha Kohen eno kore eno over. Plus, if a Kohen doesn't go up to Duchen, big deal. He's not in violation of any Isser when he doesn't go to Duchen. So basically, Beis Yosef has three explanations, or he's quoting from the Agur three explanations. Number one, they don't go to the mikveh. Number two, and therefore, since the minhag developed that you always go to the mikveh before Duchening, so they can't Duchen because they don't go to the mikveh. Number two, it takes too much time, they need to go to work. And number three, it's not really usur for a Kohen not to Duchen. So the Beis Yosef rips apart each of these answers one by one. Says the Beis Yosef, Dachak atzma l'kayim minhag makomo. He tries to force himself to be mekayim this minhag, ve'eno maspik, but his explanation clearly doesn't suffice. Kimasha kasos, let's go through. That which he says, mibnei shenogim litbol kodem, that which he says because they have the minhag to go to the mikveh first. So frek the Beis Yosef, who told them to do that? Who told them they have to go to the mikveh before Birchas Kohanim? No one says you have to go to the mikveh before Birchas Kohanim. Hay chumra dasi l'dei kulahi. So they want to take a nice chumra. Good, take on a chumra, but not if it's going to cause you to be mevatel l'mitzvah saseh each and every day. You want to be machmir and go to the mikveh? Gesundheit, be machmir and go to the mikveh. But that's going to cause you not to do a mitzvah saseh each and every day. A mitzvah daraisa each and every day, because you can say, oh, I didn't go to the mikveh, so now I can't do the mitzvah Birchas Kohanim. You don't do that. You don't take chumras that are going to lead you to cut corners in other areas of halacha. And he uses the Talmudic expression that we find at the beginning of Maseches Ksuvos, v'tali tanya b'delo tanya. He tries to explain why we ignore a real halacha based on something that's not a real halacha. Sharei tevilah l'nesias kapayim l'huskra b'talmud. Doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara that you need to go to the mikveh before you do Birchas Kohanim. And he says, think about it. When a Kohen doesn't duchen, he's in violation of three mitzvahs aseh each and every day that he doesn't do Birchas Kohanim. So wait a second. This is in stark contrast to what the Agur just said. The Agur just said, the third head to the Agur said, is anyway, he's not violating anything. So he says, no, he's violating shalosh aseh b'chol yom. So the Beis Yosef right away corrects himself. He says, "Vafu b'she'eno over elin kein nikra." What's the answer? The answer is a Kohen is only in violation of a problem if he's been called up and he doesn't go up. But if he's never called up in the first place, it's not a violation of a mitzvah saseh. He says, just think about it. It's still an opportunity, meaning if we had the minhag to duchen every day, granted, they're not violating any isser by not going up because no one ever calls them up. But if you have an opportunity to do three mitzvahs aseh each and every day, and you have that chance just by going up, so go up and do the three mitzvahs aseh each and every day, right? So why would we do away with that minhag just because it's not a violation? It's not a violation. It's a chance at a mitzvah, a chance at not just one mitzvah, three mitzvahs. Where does he get this idea that there are three mitzvahs aseh each and every day when you go up to Duchen? So it's actually a Gemara. The Gemara says in Sota, Daf Lamed Ches, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Shua, it's not in the Marma Kamos, I just have a Torah Tzmima open in front of me. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Kol Kohen She'eno Ola L'Duchen, any Kohen who does not go up to Duchen, over B'Shalosha Aseh, he violates three mitzvahs Aseh. What are the three mitzvahs Aseh? Kosev Archu, Emar Lahem, and V'Samu Hashemi. All of those are mitzvahs Aseh, and he's in violation of all of them if he chooses not to go up to Duchen. So what's interesting, the Torah Tzmima over here quotes that the Beis Yosef in this siman, I didn't put this in the Mar Makomos, says that the Beis Yosef in Aruch Chaim says, Eino over mamish al gimel esin, yan shabalashon tzivoy eino rak asei achas ko savarchu. Right, meaning of those three, not all of them are really mitzvahs asei. Amar lahem and samu hashemi are really more matter-of-factly stated. It's not, you must do this. Ko savarchu is you must. right? You must go and bless them. So he says, really only one mitzvah to say. What the Gemara is trying to tell us when it says it's three mitzvahs to say is that it's a very important mitzvah to say. The fact that the Torah keeps on suggesting it, keeps on recommending it, it gives us the impression that it's a very important mitzvah to say. So the Gemara uses the phrase three mitzvahs to say, even though it's not really three mitzvahs to say, it's really only one mitzvah to say. Furthermore, and I didn't put this in the Maamar Kamos, Torah Tamimah discusses, what about Mitzad Yisraelim? What about for everybody else? Is there a mitzvah for us to listen to Birchas Kohanim? Right? There might be a mitzvah for us. I have more Maamar Kamos. I made too many copies of that. Is there a mitzvah for us to hear Birchas Kohanim for non-Kohen? So the Torah Tamimah has a very interesting chakira. He says, what's the status of somebody who has a mitzvah that they can't do without me? They need me to do the mitzvah. But it's not really my mitzvah. So does it become a mitzvah for me because they can't do it without me? So what's another example of this? Where do you have something like that? Puruvu. Huh? Shofar is not really a good example because you could do shofar by hearing it yourself. Puruvu is the classic example. Right? A man is mechuyev in puruvu, a woman is not, but the man can't do puruvu without the woman's participation, and the woman is not mechuyev. So does it now become a mitzvah for her because she's helping out the man in the mitzvah of puruvu? Another example, Simchas Yantiv. Right? Part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv is ato ve'secha. You have to be mesameach your wife and your family, so she needs to participate and act like she's being made happy in order for you to fulfill your mitzvah of Simchas Yantiv, even though Simchas Yantiv is a mitzvah saseh shazman grama, and therefore women should be paturos from Simchas Yantiv, because mitzvah shazman grama, women are pater. So maybe you should say the woman's pater, but the man needs her in order to do his mitzvah. So maybe Birchas Kohanim should be in that category, that the Kohen really is the one with the mitzvah, but he needs the Yisrael to bless in order to be able to do the mitzvah. So Torah Tamimah struggles with this chakira a little bit, and then he points out that it's not really a chakira at all. Because he says, Aval ha'emes nira delo shayich b'zeh chiyuv v'mitzvah klal, machnas yiyu l'kohanim. He says, no, there's no mitzvah whatsoever on the Yisraelim, based on the sugya in Sota, that tells us, what do you do if you have a beis ha'knesses shekula kohanim? The entire shul is all kohanim. So what do you do? I remember when I was growing up in the Israel Lion Cedars, we used to have an inordinate amount of Kohanim. A tremendous amount of Kohanim. It was like 40% of the shul is Kohanim. What if you have like 100% of the shul is Kohanim? Everybody is a Kohen. So do they do Birchas Kohanim? So the Gemara says, Afilu hachi olim l'duchan mebnei shebirchasam chala al am shebesados. They still go up because there are non-Kohanim somewhere. They may not be in shul, but they're somewhere out there, and therefore the bracha is going to work for them. So what you see is that the Yisrael's participation is unnecessary. The Yisrael just has to exist. He need not participate. If he doesn't exist, there's no Birchas Kohanim. But he has to, as long as there's a Yisrael alive, it's okay to have Birchas Kohanim. He doesn't have to actually participate, and therefore his help is not going to make all the difference. But so the kasha, if we'll phrase it as a kasha, on B'nai Chutz La'aretz, and over here, some of these minhagim can go either way. You can appreciate why yes, why no. With this one, it's clearly a kasha on B'nai Chutz La'aretz. An Ashkenazic B'nai Chutz La'aretz, correct. And the reason it's not on Sephardic is because of this Beit Yosef. Beit Yosef, Maran, the Beit Yosef says, absolutely not, you cannot, we have to do Birchas Kohanim. All these excuses are nothing more than excuses, and they're not very good. And if you look at the last line, he says, "Val Kenya Nichum Ilkaim Shol Shasim Chayim V'Yasher Kocham Shel Bnei Eretz Yisrael V'Kol Malchus Mitzrayim Shenosim Kapeim B'Chol Yom Veinam Tovlin Nasiyas Kapeim." He gives a big Yasher Koch to people in Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim who are Nosim Kapeim every single day, and they don't have this chumra going to the mikvah before Nasiyas Kapeim, so they don't accept this chumra upon themselves, and therefore they don't come out with this tremendous kula of not being Nosim Kapeim. So Beis Yosef is stuck in terms of, as far as we're concerned, in terms of explaining our minute.
The mitzvah of Kosa Baruch Hu, it's not necessary, it doesn't have to be done during the
hour. So that's an excellent point. The Ran in Megillah makes a drasha that doesn't appear in the Gemara. The Ran says that as Bnei Yisrael, since it's Kosa Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael, mikan she'in Nesiyas Kapayim b'pachas me'asara. You need to have a minion for Nesiyas Kapayim. The Torah Tamim over here, I was just reading right before the Shir, writes, because Bnei Yisrael is mashma asara, and this is Nikdashti B'Toch B'nei Yisrael, it's a Dover Sheb Kedusha. And the Ran says, but that's only an Asmachta, because Seder Tfila Gufa D'Rabbanan. The very idea of davening is only Midrabbanan. So if davening is only Midrabbanan, then, meaning, not the very idea of davening, we just discussed that recently, right? The Seder Tefillah, what we daven, having Shmon Esrei, is only Dirabanan. Having a minion getting together and saying Shmon Esrei every day is only Dirabanan. So it's hard to say that the Birch Kohanim has to be in that context, Midoraisa. So you're right, Midoraisa, Luchora, it could be and should be even outside of that context. That's why this also sort of opens up to another discussion, but that's why Torah Tmima also, there's a well-known Torah Tmima has a discussion about a Yisrael being Mevarich people. Right? Am I allowed to give a bracha to somebody? People go to a rabbi, to a gadol, to whatever, to give a bracha. So people went to Rav Moshe Feinstein and give a bracha. So was he allowed to give a bracha? Because after all, a Zar is not allowed to be Nosei Kapav, right? The Gemara says in Ksubis, Zar and Nosei is Kapav over Ba'asei, Dichsiv Kos Sevarchu, Atem Velo Zarin. Kos Sevarchu means Kohanim have the mitzvah, not Zarin. So if a Zar does it, it's an Isser. But wait a second. If the mitzvah of Birchus Kohanim doesn't have to be in Shul, it's anywhere. So when a Zar gives a bracha, shouldn't that be a violation of Birchus Kohanim? So is it only with that formulation of Yivrecha? Because Kos Avarchu, good. He quotes over here an unbelievable thing, which I think is somewhat well known. He quotes over here, again, the Torah Tmim, it's not in the Mar Makomos. He says, Ani shamati me ish emunim. I heard from a very trustworthy source, Shahagrami Vilna Birech Eshagon Morenu Rav Yecheskel Landau Marit Tzedek de Vilna. No, it must not be Yecheskel Landau. Marit Tzedek de Vilna, that the Vilna Gaon blessed someone, Rabbi Landau of Vilna, Bishas Kupaso, at the time of his marriage, Vihiniach Yodo Achas Al Harosh Bishas Abracha. And the Gra only placed one hand on his head at the time that he was Mevarichim. Vishalu Al Kacha. And they asked him, what are you doing? Why only one hand? Veheshiv, Ki Lo Matsinu Bracha Bishte Yadayim Rakla Kohanim B'Migdash. Only Kohanim are allowed to, B'Migdash are allowed to do two hands. V'zula ze lo re'isi v'lo shamati mishayar b'ze. First of all, it's interesting, this is Kohanim B'Migdash. Just say Kohanim. Kohanim always bless with two, they use two hands. Maybe it's two hands directly on the head, I don't know. But he says other than that story I've heard from an Isha Munim, no one else from the Talmidei Agra discusses this. Mentions this idea that the Gra only used one hand. But what was he being sensitive to? This exact issue. That if the mitzvah Birchus Kohanim is lav dafka in the context of tefillah, so then the iser for a zar to be mevarich also doesn't have to be in the context of tefillah. And what do we say? Zar hanosei es kapav. We don't say zar hamevarich. Nosei es kapav. So apparently that's something to do with lifting up the hands. So as long as the zar doesn't lift up both hands, that's what they say from the Gra. Yeah, so first of all, it's one person who says they heard this from the Gra and no one else ever recorded it. So the chances of this actually being required are, you know, to use only one hand.
It would be problematic if you're giving a bracha.
Yeah, again, I think most poskim assume that it's not a problem. That probably like Binyamin said, that it's not in the you're not trying to give a bracha of Kohanim, you're just giving stam a bracha. Right, how we do at weddings, we do by Bedekin. People come and give brachas even if they're not Kohanim. Right then, and blessing your children Friday night.
I don't. Exact lashon.
Right over there, we're using the exact lashon. Right. Interesting.
I heard that's why they added the pasuk afterwards, right? They said, "Simach Elokim."
Oh yeah, is that why? I don't know. That's interesting. What? So that's interesting. I'm not sure. Yeah, he quotes, he says, Afilu Kohen lo horsha levarich bracha pratis b'nasiyas kapayim shalob zmanu makom hanikva lazeh. He says it has to be in the right context, but I'm not sure what that context is. And even for the Kohen, it's supposed to be dafka in the right context, but again, I'm not sure what that means exactly. Okay.
When the Kohen dokens, b'nasiyas kapayim, he's not putting
his... Right, he's not putting the hands on the head, it's right, it's different. So it could be that that's what distinguishes... Whatever it is, I'm not sure, but somehow that's the distinction. Somehow there is a distinction, and we are allowed to give brachos in some way. But again, we're moving a little far afield over here. Back to us. We're trying to figure out why we don't do Birchas Kohanim in Shul, in Chutz Laretz, every single day. So Beis Yosef quoted the Agur, had all these reasons. He didn't like any of them. Says the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Kuf Chav Ches, Si'if Mem Dalet, in source number 2. Shulchan Aruch says, Kohen Afapli Shov Panuin Yoseis Kapav, even a non-married Kohen doesn't see his Kapayim. And the Ramah says, V'yeshomrim Deinon Yoseis Kapav, some say a non-married Kohen should not do Nesias Kapayim. Why? Da shari below isha, shari below simcha. Because Chazal have a statement that someone who's not married doesn't have a full sense of simcha. Va'mevarich yesh lo lios b'simcha. And the one who's doing Birchas Kohanim should have a sense of simcha. V'nag b'shenose kapov afal p'shenu nasoi. But even the Ramah acknowledges that single men do Birchas Kohanim anyway. But if a guy says, I'm not interested in going up to Vinosei Kapayim because I'm single, we're not gonna make a big deal about it. Very important halacha. If a Kohen is not going to duchen, the Kohen shouldn't be there when they call up Kohanim. Because that's what we said before. Only when they call him and he refuses to go, that's a violation of the three mitzvahs asay. Omlam litol yudeim. Now here it gets to the part that we're interested in, but it flows right in. Why does a single guy not duchen in many communities? Because, according to the Ramah, because he doesn't have simcha. Nagu b'kol medinos elu she'enosin kapayim elo b'yom tov mishum sha'oz shruyim b'simchas yom tov v'tov lev v'yivarech. It's an issue of simcha, that it's dafka when we're feeling a sense of simcha. When do we feel a sense of simcha? Only on Yantif. And therefore, on Yantif, we do Nesias Kapayim. What's the obvious question?
Why are
you
doing Eretz
Yisrael? Okay, Eretz Yisrael, why don't they do it in Eretz Yisrael also only on Yantif, not during the week? That's one. What else?
Shabbos.
Simcha and Shabbos also, no? And there's no mitzvah simcha on Shabbos. There's mitzvah kibud oneg, right? There's no mitzvah simcha, but still, you're a little more relaxed. Says the Ramah, Mashen came b'shar yamim, afilu b'shabbos osashana. He says on Shabbos it's not enough of a break. One day is not enough to get our jobs out of our minds, to get the fact that we're worried about making our next mortgage payment out of our minds. It's not enough. It's not enough to really get it out of our minds. It's not enough to really feel the sense of menucha. Even on Yantif we scale it back. Even on Yantif it's only for Musaf. Because of this idea that we're not really at great simcha, so we have to pick one tefillah on Yantif. What do we pick? We pick Musaf. Because why? Because that's when we're about to leave shul, so we're a little bit happier. He says you're about to go and you're about to have a nice festive meal, and that's the key mitzvah of Simchas Yantif. You're about to have basar v'yayin at your suda, so for a sense of simcha we do it. Satisfy you? That's the reason. We don't have simcha. First of all, is that really a good hetter? The fact that you don't have simcha because you're supposed to be mevarich with simcha, but does it say anywhere that if you're not mevarich b'simcha, that if it's not a sense of simcha, that it's not a good birchas kohanim, that you're not chayiv in the mitzvah, that it's not a kiyum mitzvah? You don't really have that. So it's a Ramah. The Ramah is obviously trying to justify the minhag. Very, very difficult. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that the poskim say that in Eretz Yisrael and in Mitzrayim they did Nesias Kapayim b'chol yom, and the poskim praise this minhag. Who are the poskim? He's referring to the Beis Yosef, of course, right? He says that it's a wonderful minhag. Mishnah Berurah hinting to the fact that he doesn't really think it's a great heter that the Ramah comes up with. So the question begs itself: if Mishnah Berurah didn't like the heter, why didn't the Mishnah Berurah say, you know, let's do it, let's in Ranin, let's get all the kohanim and do Birchas Kohanim each and every day? So it gets a little bit more complicated than that. First of all, the Shaar HaTzion points out in the bottom of the Mishnah Berurah, he says, if you think you have some sort of heter, because a lot of mitzvot in Eretz Yisrael are daraisa and Chutz Laretz, it's only midrabanan as like a zecher or something. He says, Nesias Kapayim is not like that. This is not a mitzvah to leave Baretz. This is daraisa and Chutz Laretz, the same way as daraisa in Eretz Yisrael. So any heterim along those lines to try to distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz aren't going to get you anywhere, because it's a mitzvah daraisa and Chutz Laretz as well. So what's the story over here? So the Aruch HaShulchan is the first one to clue us in a little bit. Not the first one, the first of the Mar Makomos. There are others earlier in history, but the first one on our sheets to clue us in a little bit. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, source number 5, V'nei v'adai ein shum tam nachol l'minageinu levatel mitzvah say di birchas kohanim kol hashana kula. There's no good reason why we don't do Birkas Kohanim the whole year. V'kasvu d'minagaruahu. And if you look at all the poskim, they'll tell you it's a terrible minag. Avol manasa. No. What can we do? Uki'ilu. What do you mean, what can we do? Do it! Do Birkas Kohanim. How hard is it? It's a few words. Uki'ilu baskol yatsa shelo lahaniach lanu lisa kapayim b'kal ha'shana kula. All of a sudden he gets a little spooky on us. Right? The Aruch HaShulchan is Halacha Sefer. And he says, no, it's as if a baskel came out from Shemayim and isn't allowing the B'nai Chutz Lords to do this mitzvah. It's reminiscent of the Mishnah in Sukkah where it talks about when it rains on Sukkah, says the Ribbono Shalom, it's like the Eved trying to bring the Adon a cup of water, right, or a cup of wine, and the Adon saying, spilling it right back in his face, saying, I'm not interested. It's as if the baskel is coming from Shemayim where we sincerely want to do a mitzvah, and of course Baruch Hu says, I'm not interested in your mitzvahs, get away from me. Where did he get that? Where did he get that idea that there's a baskel coming out, that we're being so discouraged? He says, "Mukubalni sheshnei gedolei ador b'doros shelfenenu kol echad b'mukomo ratz lahanig mesias kapayim b'chol yom avikabbalah." That in the previous generations, two of the gedolei ador each decided in their own communities to do mesias kapayim b'chol yom ukshegbilu yom amukbalazeh, and they said, "Okay, starting on Tuesday or whatever it was, we're going to do Birkas Kohanim." And when that day came, Nisbabel Inyan V'lo'al Lelehem, something tragic happened and they weren't able to do it. And they took that as a simon min ha-shamayim. I guess they assumed trei pamim avi chazaka. Machlokes in the Gemara, whether two times is a chazaka or three times is a chazaka. When it comes to issues of sakana, we're machmir to assume two times is a chazaka. Right? So they assume that that's a chazaka that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't interested. And they said that they see from here that this is something clearly min ha-shamayim. If you want an excuse, I'll tell you the same simcha vart. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. If you want an explanation for it, I'll tell you because of the simcha idea. But that's not really it. What's really it is that we have a mitzvah, we tried to do it, it didn't work out. What's he talking about? What story? What happened? So he leaves out the good part, right? He just tells us, first of all, who are these Gedolei Adar? And what happened? Why didn't it work out? So the Kabbalahs of what the stories are become clear in other Sfarim. Rav Sturmbach has a beautiful little sefer called Hilchos Hagra Uminhagav. Rav Sturmbach is a direct descendant of the Vilna Gaon, and he likes to make a big deal out of that, obviously, as one should. He tries to be matzdik a lot of the Minhagei Agra, and tries to follow most of the Minhagei Agra, and he has a very nice collection of explanations of various Minhagei Agra. And in that little sefer, he writes, Rabbeinu Zatzal takif haya ma'od bidrishaso shiyusu kapayim b'chol yom. The Gra pushed hard for this. This was something he cared a lot about. He wanted them to do duchening every day. Upapas ha-shulchan mevi she'inhagnu minagzos b'kolleinu miyom she'zachinu l'kvo yishiv esenu b'Eretz Yisrael u'b'Yerushalayim. The Gra's Talmidim all went to Eretz Yisrael. Not all. Many. Many of the Gra's Talmidim went to Eretz Yisrael. And as soon as they got there, Nesiyas Kapayim B'chol Yom, not just for Sfardim, right? They made sure that there were no Nesiyas Kapayim B'chol Yom. But the Grud never actually did it. Why? So he quotes the story in the third line in source number 6, that someone Shamakam Pam Piagra, Shayaholich me ear li ear, umispatal me toru utfila, luhaya biyadu the sakin, the tovas aklan, Nesiyas Kapayim B'chol Yom. The Grud says he would have taken the time to travel from city to city and given up Torah, a lot of his Torah learning and a lot of his davening to be able to institute Nesiyas Kapayim B'chol Yom. U'b'shem Agon Rabbi Chaim Yivloshen Tzatzal, Sherabu Agraz Tzatzal, Hishtokek Lisa Kapayim, Rak Lo Arav B'liba Lasos Maisa. He wanted to do it. He had a hard time having the chutzpah to do it. U'k'shehich Lisa Kapayim B'beis Midrasho. And on the day the Gra decided to do this in his shul, L'machar Pit'om Nitfas L'beis HaSurim Ba'alilos. All of a sudden there were all sorts of accusations made against him and he was arrested. The day that it was supposed to start, the Gra was arrested, and he was unable to do it. So you say, okay, coincidence, right? So the next story is, Rav Chaim Yivloshen tried the same thing. The Netziv writes in his tshuva, in tshuva's Meshev Davar, in the Netziv's tshuva, he writes that that he heard from Rav Itzlov Yivloshner, his mechutin, that once the story about the Gra, and then he says that the same thing happened. Rav Chaim Yivloshner, Talmud of the Gra, wanted to do the same thing, so he decided one day, okay, we're going to pick this day, that's going to be the day we're going to be Nosei Kapayim. Everyone comes to shul the next morning, the morning they're supposed to start, and the shul was burnt down. It burnt to the ground. And those two Gedolei Adar, the Gra of Vilna and Chaim Voloshiner, saw that and they said, okay, this is obviously the Eini Tanu Yodea Adma. We have no idea why this is happening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this. We don't know why. We don't know how. We just know that we can't do this anymore. So that's what the Netziv says. Look, you want me to be Miyashiv the minute the Netziv says, all I can tell you is, you could try it. I'm not going to try it. Right? It's something that's not a good idea to try. People with broad shoulders like the Grod and Chaim Voloshiner tried it. It didn't quite work out. The Netziv is interesting. And it's, you know, they tell the story about the Netziv that when he was a young child, that he wasn't really so serious about his learning. And he once overheard his father crying that, what's going to be with my son? He's not so into learning. And he decided to become much more serious because he thought his father was giving up on him, that he was going to have to teach him a profession, a trade, because, you know, make him a shoemaker or whatever, because he wasn't so into learning. And the Netziv, you know, really pulled himself together and got into learning. I was just listening to a shiur from Rav Shechter this week, and he mentioned that the Netziv's major sefer, the biggest sefer he wrote, is his Perish on the She'iltos. He wrote an enormous amount of Sfarim. He wrote dozens of Sfarim. But the Perish on the She'iltos was his monumental work. And Rav Shechter said that he wrote that when he was a teenager. He was like 17, 18 years old. So, like, I was thinking about that story. You know, a lot of these stories we hear, you know, he was a rebellious child. It wasn't like when he was, you know, 17, 18, 19. He was a rebellious child, means like when he was 6. By the time he was 8, he pulled himself together and he was, you know, learning the Beis Medrash enough to be able to write a Perish on the She'iltos by the time he was 17, 18, which is interesting. So anyway, the Netziv was obviously one of the most prolific authors and had more Talmidim probably than anybody else in his time. It was Rashiva Voloshin for many, many years. He quotes this this story, this Voloshiner Maisa of Rechaim Voloshiner and of the Gra. Okay, so that's, but we still don't have a good excuse. The oddest excuse, the oddest explanation, perhaps, is based on something that it says in a Pri Chadash. Pri Chadash writes, in the name of Matsasi Kasuv, Pri Chadash says he found written somewhere that if a woman is a Nida, a Kohen who enters the house where a woman who's a Nida is present is not allowed to do Birchas Kohanim. So says the Pri Chadash in the name of Matsasi Kasuv. So first of all, whenever you see the phrase Matsasi Kasuv, first question has to be, I found it written. What kind of statement is that? Matsasi Kasuv. That's quote sources. There's one place where, who is it? I think the Chavos Das in the back of Yaradea quotes the Sidrei Tara in Hilchas Nida quotes a Matsasi Kasuv about different colors of dam, what color is Tameh, what's Tahar. Quotes Matsasi Kasuv regarding brown, that brown is Tameh, I think, or the brown is Tahar. I don't remember which way, the Matsasi Kasuv. And some of the Achronim say, how could he just say Matsasi Kasuv? And in that place, it happens to be the Matsasi Kasuv was Rabbi Yaakov Emden. But he didn't want to quote Rabbi Yaakov Emden by name because of the whole issue between Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz. He thought it wasn't respectful to Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz to quote Rabbi Yaakov Emden by name. So there's usually a reason when there's a Matsasi Kasuv. But Pri Chadash says Matsasi Kasuv, and then the Pri Chadash says, rather cryptically, Ein Lefarsim Adavar. Don't make this public knowledge. So Chassam Sofer was asked by somebody, what do you think about this Pri Chadash? So Chassam Sofer says, first thing I think about it is he violated his own suggestion. He said, Ein Lefarsim Adavar. Then he prints a sefer, a pretty good sefer, people are going to read, and he goes, and he prints this in the sefer. So how can you write it? And then say, Ein Lefarsim Adavar. He says, B'mechilas Kvodo, Avral Divrei Atzmo. He violated his own suggestion. Verehu Birsimo. He went and was Mefarsim it. And he says this idea that that's why the Kohanim are not Nosei Kapayim, he says is interesting, certainly, but absolutely incorrect. He quotes that Ephraim Zalman Margolios, one of the Chassam Sofer's Rebbeim. Chassam Sofer had three major Rebbeim. In order, it was Rav Nosson Adler, the Hafla'a, and Ephraim Zalman Margolios. Ephraim Zalman Margolios was not a rabbi, really. He was a balabas, but he was the biggest Talmud Chacham of his time. So you don't have to be a rabbi to be a Talmud Chacham. He was an enormous Talmud Chacham. He was a Rebbe of the Chassam Sofer. Right, so he quotes that Ephraim Zalman Margolios says, perhaps based on this Pri Chadash, obviously it's not very satisfying, because as far as we know, Kohanim in Eretz Yisrael also hang out in houses where a Nida might be. And also, what does it mean? Where does it come from? What kind of...
What about Yom Tov?
Right, and what about Yantif? And Yantif, a lot of times, Kohanim are around needles also. It's just a very unusual comment. How this explains our minhag is not at all clear. He's just trying to, I think what he's trying to say is really we should never be Nosei Kavayim, but we can't not do it at all, so we do it a little bit. But it doesn't really help. So Chassam Sofer says, I'll tell you the real reason. Chassam Sofer, at the end of this tshuva, in source number 9, says, I have a suggestion. If you look 5 lines from the end of the tshuva, he says, Venerally, Tam Pashut, says a very simple reason. The Nesiyas Kapayim Ksiv Bikra Achar Avoda. It says Nesiyas Kapayim in the Pasuk after the Avoda. Ukti Alfin Reish Parapezim Megillah Midichsiv Vayerin Measos Hachatos Vayvarech Asa'am. The Kohen would come down from doing the Kohen Chatos and then he'd be Mevarech Asa'am. Utfila B'makom Avoda. And what do we do instead of Avoda? Meaning, why is it that we do Birchas Kohanim during davening? What Binyamin was referring to before. The Torah doesn't say to do it during davening. Davening isn't Daraisa. So why do we do Birchas Kohanim dafka during davening? Okay, that's when everyone's assembled. Whatever, we could have thought of some other time. Why dafka during davening? So he says, because the Birchas Kohanim really ideally is supposed to be done during Avoda. Tfila, as we've discussed, is B'makom Avoda. What we do instead of Avoda, we have Shachris and Mincha connected to Tamash Shal Shachar, Tamash Shal Ben Arbaim. Tefillah is there in place of the Avoda. Musaf, obviously, in place of Korban Musaf. Ve'in Safek she'ein Avoda Ritzuya, v'hi pigul chas v'shalom, gam Birchas Kohanim lo tachol alam esparachim az. When is Birchas Kohanim going to work? When the Avoda was good. If the Avoda worked, if the Avoda was a kasher Avoda, so the Birchas Kohanim that goes along with that Avoda is a kasher Birchas Kohanim. Fine, that's very nice. But what if the avodah is piggle? What if the avodah is terrible? The avodah is puzzle. So if this is an add-on to the avodah, but the etzim avodah is problematic, so the add-on doesn't work. Right? It's similar to what Rav Soloveitchik says about slichos. Right? He says that people often think of slichos as like the highlight of the tefillah. He says, really, what it's done at a time where there are no other tefillahs because it's not meant to replace tefillah, it's meant to be an add-on to the tefillah. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says that the guy who davens slichos should also daven shachris. Why? Because hamaskel b'mitzvah om lo gemar. The guy who starts a mitzvah, you tell him to finish the mitzvah. What do you mean? You don't tell the guy who daven shachris he has to daven musaf. No, but the point is slichos doesn't stand alone. It only goes along together with the tefillah. It's an add-on to the tefillah. And if you have a problem with the tefillah, if the tefillah is not good, then what are the slichos going to help you? It's as an add-on, it's not good. It's not going to. You need to have the basics. You need to have the base of something before you build on that foundation. So the foundation is the avoda. Birchas Kohanim is what we build on the avoda. So says the Chassam Sofer, what do we have instead of avoda? We have tefillah. So he says, Vayos b'avod menoseinu arabim. Kol yemos hachol trudim ala michya v'akalkala. V'rov hatfilos b'li kavana. V'tir d'meruba. Most of our tfilos, and again he's not condoning it, but he's saying it's the reality. Most of our tfilos during the week are without kavana. We don't have the proper concentration in our tfilah. And we're very preoccupied. U'tfilah b'lo kavana ki karban she'eno ratzui. A tfilah without kavana is like a karban that's gone bad. Kavan and tefillah is a little bit better on Yantif. And that's why the minhag is when we bless our children, when do we bless our children? Not each and every day. Shabbos and Yantif. Any bracha we're going to add on is in addition to tefillah. Even brachas for our children. Because when we daven, we're also davening for our children. We have to be davening for our children. So if the tefillah is going to be a problem, the bracha you're going to add on to the tefillah is also going to be a problem. Now, what about an Eretz Yisrael? So what would he say? What do you think? That tefillah is different. Eretz Yisrael is an atmosphere of ruchnius, there's an atmosphere of kedusha. Maybe that tefillah was on a higher level. Same thing that Ramah says with simcha. That we're not knowing to be Nosei Kapayim V'Cholim because we don't have that same sense of simcha. There's a simcha of Lefnei Hashem Elokecha. There's a certain sense of simcha, a certain sense of Menuchas HaNefesh that can only be achieved when you're Lefnei Hashem, when you're in the King's Palace, when you're right there in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that sense of simcha, that sense of Ruchnius, and in the Chassam Sofer's eyes, the ability to be Oved Hashem, the tefillah, to have a sincere tefillah, is perhaps easier in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz Laretz. So says the Chassam Sofer. Now, I had to see the tshuva of Ephraim Zalman Margolyos, where he quoted this idea of the Pri Chadash and said, that's the reason. I just had to look it up inside. As it turns out, when I first copied and pasted it onto these these sheets. It was like 10 pages long. So I cut out a bunch of it, and I underlined the key parts. Now, the main point that he tries to impress upon the person that he's writing to is that he felt the person he was writing to wasn't just asking, why is it that we're not Nosei Kapayim B'chol Yom? He felt that the person was asking, unless you give me a good reason, I'm about to start it. You know, I'm going to be Mevatel this minhag. And Ephraim Zalman Margolios was not too enthused with the idea of someone deciding that they're going to change the minhag of Klal Yisrael. So he writes that Haminuk Noah, I'm just going to read the underlying sections, Haminuk Shanachnu Nogin Ayom Shalo Yisu Kwanim Kapeyim. He says, how old do you think this minhag is? Ephraim Zalman Margolios says, writing 300 years ago. How old do you think this minhag is? I'm guessing around the years, it's probably a little less. He says, Kim Yom Tov Yesh Mekom Shnog Laaf B'Shabbasos Hu Minhag Kodim Yosem Min Chamisha Meil Shana. It's more than 500 years old, this minhag. It's not a minhag that you're going to come on one fine day, one fine morning in September 2009, and you're going to say, let's get rid of that minhag. It's been around for a long, long time. And he says something unbelievable. We read the Beis Yosef. What was the Beis Yosef's opinion about Nesias Kapayim? Do it, right? He was as clear as could be, right? What was the lashon of the Beis Yosef? He said that he quotes the Agur that says that explains why not to do it, and he says you're dochek, it's eno maspik. The reasons you give are not sufficient. And yasher kocham shel bnei eretz yisrael lekal malchus mitzrayim. We write a big yasher koyach to those who do it every day. So what is Rav Chaim Zalman Margolios quote from the Beis Yosef? He says I notice what's missing in that Beis Yosef. He never says v'yesh levatel minhaga. He never says that those who have this minhag should be mevatel the minhag. He says yasher koach to those who have the minhag to do it every day. Graysi yasher koach to them. It's wonderful, but he never says that those who have the minhag not to do it have to be mevatel that minhag. Why doesn't he say that? Maybe he'll say it's not his style. So Ephraim Zalman Margolios, being the Talmud Chacham that he was, says it's very much his style. He says it all over the place. There are plenty of Minhagi Ashkenaz that the Beis Yosef doesn't like, that says they need to be Mevatel this minhag, it's a terrible minhag, it's bad. With this one, he doesn't do it. Apparently, he was old enough already in his time that he knew it's not a minhag to play around with. And he says, Va'ata ahuvi yedidi, yerev yishpot ke'en sichlo, es ha'giborim anshi Hashem ha'ele, asher ha'katan shebetalmidei talmideim, ketanam ava mimasnenu. He says, think about the people that did not introduce Birchas Kohanim in Chutz Laaretz. The smallest of the talmidim of their talmidim is so much greater than us. Ha'im omer yomer leitzi b'yad rama aruch itam milchama, u'bekoch avotzim yadu yasa chayil. You really want to take on all of them? You want to take them all on and be mevatel aminag? Even if we have no idea what the reason is. And then he goes on to say, but I think I do have an idea what the reason is. And he does not jump straight to this strange pre-chadash with the nida business. He gives a few other suggestions. First suggestion, he says, is that kohanim are not miyuchasim, bizman hazeh. That most of the kohanim don't have a very clear yichus. We don't want to do away with Birchas Kohanim entirely, but because they don't have a clear yichus, we don't want to risk that many brachos levatala. So we do it at specific times and not at other times. So he says, Adarabah, because of this yichus issue, he says, I'm convinced we need to really explain the minhag Eretz Yisrael, how they could do it every day, how they could risk brachos levatala like that every day. And he says, furthermore, then he quotes the Prichadash, this idea with the... With the nida business, and he tries to suggest, give us some explanation of it. Really, rather not get into it right now, what the explanation is. But he goes on to say that, you know, don't just think about the fact that Rabbanim have not instituted this practice. Think about all the great Kohanim that have lived in the past very many centuries. Think about the Shach, right? The Shach didn't do this. The Shach didn't do Birchas Kohanim every day. Now, you're going to come in the year whatever, in 2009, let's say, and you're going to start doing Birchas Kohanim every day. It's an issue of being motzi laz al rishonim. When we try to take upon ourselves kabbalos and chumras or even meikar adin, but if it's something that hasn't been done by gedolim v'tzadikim for centuries, it's being motzi laz and those gedolim v'tzadikim, that they didn't know what they were talking about, they didn't know what they were doing, they were being mevatel mitzvah, and that we can't do. We can't take upon ourselves to be motzi laz on gedolim v'tovim imenu, and therefore we can't be mezalzel in this minhag, and we should not institute the Birchas Kohanim. So is it a real Eretz Yisrael Chutz Laaretz split? based on many of the explanations it might be. If the explanation is about Simcha, about Kavana, it really is an Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz split, but most likely we don't know the real reason for it, and we don't really have a good Havana whether it's an Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz split. So that's the first of the Minhagim Bez Hashem. Next week we'll try to cover the rest of them.